Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
What attracted you to Tasso Livaditi in the first place?
Look, it's hard to say, really. It's like falling in love with another person. You know, what attracts you to them? There's always a range of things and you can't really put your finger on it. But I guess the one thing that appealed to me and has continued to appeal to me ever since I first started reading him seriously, because I've known him for a long time, but it's only fairly recently that I've started to seriously study his work, was, I guess, the philosophical aspect. So given my background in philosophy, it was Livaditis's intense search for answers to the big questions of life and death. That's what really appealed to me. So he's not afraid to ask the big questions, but he doesn't close anything off. He leaves everything open. He goes on this adventure of thinking, of asking, of questioning. And that's what has appealed to me, one of the many things that has appealed to me, as well as his writing style, the way he writes. He writes in a very engaging, clear, lucid, very appealing writer, which is why he's so widely read in Greece. I guess that's what I've tried to preserve in my translations, the try to make him as appealing in translation as he is in the original. So there are a number of things that I have found attractive about his work.
Why did you choose this particular piece of work? He's got many poetry collections. Particular one?
So this was his last one, the last one that he happened to write. I mean, he died at a fairly young age, 66. So he probably would have had many more poetry books ahead of him had he continued to live. Well, My plan is to translate everything. So I was going to get around to this sooner or later, but I decided to translate this sooner because it's one of his better works, I think. It's one of the works where his writing is at its best. He's got a whole lifetime behind him of perfecting his craft, and particularly the prose poem format, which he became a kind of specialist in. And in this book, he's exploring the themes that he's become, they had been exploring since around the early 70s, if not earlier than that. And he's really delving into them a lot deeper now. And so it's a finely crafted work. It's a brilliant piece of writing. And it was published posthumously. So the book, he died in 1988. It was published in 1990. And he had not completely finished writing it when he passed away. It was nearly finished. That time, the late 80s, was a time of transition for much of Europe. If you remember, it was the time when, you know, Europe was moving away from, certain parts of Europe anyway, were witnessing the end of the old regimes of the Soviet communism and the communist bloc. Only a year later, the Berlin Wall fell. So there were big changes happening in Europe and a new world order was on its way, but it wasn't very clear what that would look like. And Livaditis' book captures that sense of transition. It captures that the spirit of the times very well. And I think works that do that, it's very difficult for a writer to capture the zeitgeist, you know, in such a clear and compelling way. And he does that very well. So All those factors led me to concentrate on that work.
What challenges did you encounter in translating this book? Because translating poetry is not an easy task to begin with, but translating a poet like Livaditi, who has a very strong philosophical sort of mood, dimension, mood to his poems. And, you know, what did you find translating him?
Look, I think it's like translating any literary work, and particularly any work of poetry, where it's a bit of a trade-off between different aspects, different elements. There's the sense, the sound, the rhythm, the structure, all these things that you want to preserve, but it's always going to be a trade-off between them. And as I said earlier, it's really I wanted to make preserve the ability that Livaditis has in the original to really bring the reader in, to invite the reader in. He's a very engaging, compelling writer, very inviting writer. So there are all these nuances. He can be very elusive, very dense, because he especially in his later works like this one, he tends to use the very short format, prose poem format. Some of his of his poems can be quite lengthy, running to a few pages, but quite often he would just restrict himself to just a few lines, and that can be very, he sort of demands this intense concentration. And so it's a matter of trying to preserve that density and the nuances, the moods, like you mentioned. He's often expressing the kind of all sorts of different moods, from joy and excitement to sadness, melancholy, anxiety. And so I guess the challenge for me was to try to preserve all that, but also, since I myself wasn't born in Greece, didn't grow up in Greece, so it's easy for someone like me to miss some of the nuances, some of the connotations. And so it was important to have the work reviewed and checked by others. And I think that's important for any writer to do, especially a translator, to have your work looked at by another pair of eyes. So I was lucky to have in particular one person in Greece. Her name is Constantina Yorganda, who is a poet herself, and she's she grew up in Athens. Now she's based in Crete, and she knows Livaditis' work very well. And so she's been a companion in this translation process. She's her feedback has been invaluable. She has saved me from many errors. So it's a matter of trying to preserve as best you can the voice of the writer. But as a translator, I've realized that you start to develop your own voice as well. So it's a matter of being true to your own voice as much as true or faithful to the author. As a translator, I don't think you need to be slavish to the original. It takes a bit of confidence to start developing your own style and voice as a translator.
How long did it take you to translate this work?
Oh, well, I'm not really sure. It would have been a few years on and off. So I tend to go through a number of drafts, and then I'll put it aside for maybe 6 months and then come back to it. The work of a translator is never complete, so you constantly making improvements or revisions. So whereas the original is in some sense fixed, the translation is something that you can always change or update or revise. And in fact, some people argue that translation should always be, will always need revision so as to reflect the terminology or the thinking of its time. So it can never be fixed forever. So it's always a process of revision.
Right. Well, you mentioned before that you weren't born and raised in Greece. So you were born and raised in Australia, in Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. For you to be able to translate poetry, that means that you have a pretty good knowledge of the Greek language. And yet we're sitting here talking in English. Why is that?
Because it's not Greek is not the language I use on a day-to-day basis. It's English. Even though in some ways I find myself thinking in Greek, especially when it comes to more, if I've got some ideas about my own writing, Greek sometimes comes easier to me. But I think for myself, English is my mother tongue. Greek is secondary.
I had to ask this question
simply because
you translated from Greek to English.
Yeah, I studied Greek at university. Then I've always continued reading in Greek, reading Greek novels and poetry. But it's not my, how can I put it? It's not the language I find myself using when I really want to express myself best. Yeah.
Let's move on to another question.
Yeah.
Is there an interest in Australia for Greek poetry?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't think there's much of an interest in poetry, let alone Greek poetry. I think there is a readership there, a poetry readership in Australia, but it's a fairly small one. And Greek poetry, smaller still. I'd say there's probably some interest within the Greek Australian community, but beyond that, I think it's, you know, very minimal. That's my impression.
So how did you manage publishing this book, this translation?
I think there's probably more of an interest overseas. So the publisher Smokestack Books, they're based in England, and the previous English translations that I've published of Livadictus were with overseas publishers. So that says something about, you know, the publishing market here. And this publisher in particular, Smokestack Books, they have a tendency to go for leftist literature, broadly speaking. And so the fact that Livadictus had a leftist background appealed to them. But even they, I've been told, Smokestack Books will soon be closing shop. So, you know, the publishing industry, when it comes to poetry, it's very, very small.
Did you mention before that you translated Livadictus in the past?
Yes. So I've translated two of his other books. The first
Which
one
ones?
Was The Blind Man with a Lamp.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, Violets for a Season. And I've got another one coming out next year. Again, with
By Livadictus.
But again, this time with a UK publisher. So the next one will be his first three books, which are probably mm-hmm. better known in Greece, when Livadictus came out of the prison, he published three poetry books in quick succession, and they are closely connected to one another thematically and stylistically, and so I thought it would be good to publish them as a single volume, and that's coming out next year.
So you keep on going to Livadictus?
Yes. Yes. I can't give him up. When I first began reading him seriously, I was amazed that he hadn't been translated into English. I thought, that's weird. And so I thought, well, why? I'd love to do it. And I just haven't stopped since.
Maybe because he's not very well known in the Greek diaspora, Tasos Livadictis.
Yeah, but I think what I've discovered also is that there are many other great writers from his generation and later who haven't been translated either. And I think there's a tendency in the Anglophone world to keep going back to a very small select group of Greek writers. You know, you've got your Seferis, your Ritsos and Elithis.
Kavafis.
Kavafis. Yep. And there's this obsession with, you know, there's a new Kavafi translation every year or so. And do we really need another Kavafi translation? There are so many other great Greek writers who deserve to be translated. And it is very hard to get these translations published. So you have to really make an effort to introduce these other voices to the English-speaking world. And I feel that there is also a bias against translations.
Is the book available
in
Australia?
You have to order it online from the publisher's website.
Okay. So you mentioned, just to wrap this conversation up, you mentioned that you've got another book coming out next year.
Yes.
Again by Livadictus, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Give us a few clues, though.
It's the first three books he published.
Okay.
So they're not written in his trademark prose poem format. They're much mm-hmm. more lengthier. So the titles are Battle at the End of the Night, This Star is for All of Us, and the mm-hmm. third one is The Wind at the Crossroads of the World.
Correct.
And they all reflect
άκρη the... Της νύχτας.
Yes.
Αυτό το αστέρι
είναι για όλους μας. Yes.
Και το φυσάει στα σταυροδρόμια του κόσμου.
Yes, that's right. They come out of the experience of the civil war, especially, and the persecution and the oppression mm. and the violence and the bloodshed and all of that. But they're written in a it's not just destruction and violence. Combined with that is there is a very strong romantic dimension to these writings, where one of them is actually written as a kind of love letter to Livadictus' future wife. And there's a very strong emphasis on solidarity, justice, peace, and a critique of the persecution and the oppression of the times. These were written in a very volatile and violent times, the 1940s, 1950s, and in fact, one of those books, the third one, that Fisai, Sestavrodo Metodro do Cosmo, was banned by the censors, and Livadetis was thrown in jail again, and he had to appear in court to defend himself. And there was an outcry, an international outcry, and in the end, he was acquitted. But that just goes to show the spirit of the times, the kind of very narrow-minded, oppressive environment in Greece at the time.
We'll have the opportunity to discuss further about what you just mentioned next year, when your next book of translations by Tasos Livadetis will come out.
That'll be great. Thank you.
I think we should leave this conversation here. Best of luck with the autumn manuscripts, and looking forward to talking to you again in the future about your next book.
Thank you, Dina. It's been a pleasure.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν; Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.